about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. I invite you to look with us in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Excuse me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verses 1 through 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Father, we thank you for the wonderful, the powerful, just the overwhelming story of creation as found in Genesis chapter 1. And thank you, Lord, for how that in that chapter you introduce not only the creation, but you introduce your word to all the world through that chapter. And thank you for the many blessings that are ours as we simply read of your power, your grace, your creativity, your ability, your strength, your wisdom as you created the worlds. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word every day so that more and more we'll learn about you and your mind, your thoughts, your ways of doing things, who you are and what you've called us, we, your people, to be and to do. Help us to grow in our commitment to filling our hearts and our minds with your word every day. And help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same every single day as well. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you listening in. I want to remind you once again that we want to continue to encourage you to pray for us and be involved in ways that you can with our pledge to boycott Target. And if you've already signed, we signed the pledge. We appreciate that so very, very much. Our goal this week has been to get an additional 50,000 people to sign the pledge to boycott Target. And while we're grateful for many that have already signed, we believe there are lots more people out there who maybe haven't heard about it yet or just haven't taken the steps to get involved yet. We want to encourage you to get involved. Also, if you would, call someone else up and call and ask them to go online at afa.net and sign the pledge as well, because we believe that as we continue to consistently press forward with this, that sooner or later, Target's going to really pay attention and take appropriate measures. So again, AFA, I want to remind you once again, AFA was present at the annual Target shareholders meeting, and we voiced the concerns of millions of Americans, but it seems that Target just wasn't listening. And so again, we want to encourage you to go online again and sign up if you haven't, but if you know someone that you can call and encourage them to do the same, we hope that you'll take time to do that. Again, visit afa.net and sign the Boycott Target Pledge. Again, afa.net. Encourage your friends and loved ones to consider doing the very same thing as well. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we want to invite you to turn your attention specifically to the topic of the critical importance of the habit of daily reading God's Word. Now, keep in mind, life is full of habits. Like it or not, our lives are made up of all kinds of habits, but one of the most important habits in all of life is the important habit of committing to reading God's Word. Now, lots of people have the habit of reading God's Word, and that's a good habit. But many other people have the bad habit of neglecting to read God's Word. Now, you might say, well, is that really a habit? It sure is. Remember this, our lives are full of habits, and habits typically are formed around the things that are most important to us. Those are the things that we typically form habits around. Just like, for example, millions and millions of people get up every morning and go to work. Well, some might say, well, that's not really a habit. Sure it is. Because if you don't have that habit, it's a good possibility you'll get terminated from your job. And if that happens, then it's a good possibility you might be tossed out on the street. So it's important to have a habit like that. Our lives are full of habits. Some of those habits include brushing your teeth every day. Everybody doesn't have that habit. Another, showering every day. Everybody doesn't have that habit. But some of the most important habits in our lives are our spiritual habits. And one of them needs to be the habit of opening God's Word every single day and reading and meditating on God's Word. Ask yourself this question. If God wrote a book, would you get the book and read it? Well, the good answer to that question is, of course, well, a response to that question is God did write a book. That is, he inspired a book to be written, and it's his book. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. So in response to the question, if God wrote a book, would you read it? Well, again, you can answer that by finding out what you're doing now. Are you reading God's Word every day, or are you not reading it every day? Why is it so important for us to make that a high priority? Well, today, as we look at this topic, I really want to convince you that if you haven't started that habit of reading His Word daily, that you'll start. Because there are so many things that you're missing out on if you're not reading God's Word every single day. And it's important that we understand that it's not just a nice habit. It's critical that you have the habit of reading His Word daily because we need it. The Lord Jesus Himself said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." Now, there are many important truths and lessons in that one verse. Listen again. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." So keep in mind, your average human being understands that it's very important that we eat every day. And typically people eat at least two or three or more times a day because they recognize that a part of life is feeding and nourishing your physical body. Well, keep in mind, a part of what Jesus is communicating very clearly to us is that God's Word is as and is even more important than the daily food that you and I eat. Now, lots of people wouldn't believe that. They don't think that, and they don't think it's true, but the fact is, it is. Because you see, God's Word not only created the world, the Word of God sustains the world as well. You may think you're being sustained by the food you eat. No, you're being sustained by the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. He sustains us moment by moment, and if he moves his hand of blessing, you and I will cease to function. Our life would be over. So it's important to know, yes, it's really true. We really do live by the Word of God, whether we understand it or not. God's Word upholds the things in our world and keeps them in place. So God's grace is sustaining us moment by moment. But it's so important that you read God's Word for many reasons, and let me share a few of those reasons. Now, keep in mind, the Bible, the Word of God, is the best-selling book in the whole wide world. It has been for a long, long, long time. It's a book that's made up of 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Those books include, for example, books that they're classified, just certain classifications. The first five books of the law, known as the Pentateuch, they make up what's called law. Then they're the books of history as well, which run from Joshua all the way through the book of Esther. Those are history. And then there's the books that are classified as poetry. That includes Job to the book of Song of Solomon. The major prophets include Isaiah through the book of Daniel. The minor prophets, the book of Hosea to Malachi. In the New Testament, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then there's church history, which is the book of Acts. Then there are the letters. And letters run from the book of Romans all the way to the book of Jude. And then finally, Revelation, which is classified as prophecy. And Revelation and the book of Daniel are called that this big word called apocalyptic literature. But the fact is, several different kinds of literature found within the bounds of the Word of God. But it's a powerful book. It's a book to be studied first and foremost because you know Jesus Christ, or if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's a good book to read because it'll lead you to Jesus Christ as well. So we're wise, whoever we are, to read God's Word every single day. And God has wisdom, guidance, counsel, grace, strength, and direction to give to each and every one of us. So it's very important, very wise for us to make it a high priority to read God's Word every day. And I want to say very clearly to every parent listening, parents, make it your goal. Obviously, clearly, when your children are small, to begin to teach and train them to read God's Word every single day. Nothing can bless your children more than God's Word. Nothing can bless them more than God's Word. So teaching and training them to read God's Word every day is a very, very, very wise and valuable thing for each of us as parents to do. Now, for those parents listening who say, well, that would have been fine, but I didn't do it when I was small, and my children are grown now. Keep in mind, it's never too late. Parents, it's a wise thing for you to, on a regular basis, call your children up and pray with them, but also say, hey, could you read a chapter out loud for me? Now, for your children that think, oh, that sounds childish, Dad or Mom, tell them, humor me. Read anyway. Would you read for me? And often they will, and it'll bless them, and it'll bless you too. Now, but if they refuse, you just quietly pray for them that God would cause them to have a growing love for the Word of God, where they'll fall in love with God's Word, because our children, whether they're 5 years old or 50 years old, they need God's Word in their heart and their mind. And if they're planting it in their heart and their mind every day, it'll bless them tremendously. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to read your Word every day. Thank you for the chance for us as parents to teach and train and encourage our children to read every day. Help us to be faithful to do just that, to help and encourage and train them to be students of your Word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
I believe one of the greatest needs for this generation is for men to be men.
Pastor, author, musician, Carl King.
Men have lost their initiative and they're spending time in games and pornography and the culture is vomiting this out and many men are just sucking it up. But I think that the Word of God, and I think that our culture is asking for men to step up and say, okay, I'm going to use that manliness that God has given me. I'm going to be a provider. I'm going to be a help. I'm going to be a protector. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to use and exploit women. By me being self-controlled and self-disciplined, I'm going to change the world.
Advancing truth, wisdom, and empowerment. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Can you imagine how David felt as a young lad just waiting to become king? Samuel had anointed him years before the promise ever came to pass. In fact, in his wait, the anointing had already left Saul and had rested on David, giving him the authority to take his rightful place. David could have easily helped God out with timing when Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, not knowing that David and his men were hiding in the cave. But that would have been outside the will of God. God's got his own time to do what he wants to do in our lives. He sees the complete picture when we can only see what's happening in front of us at that moment. One good lesson to learn is that we can never rush the will of God for our lives. David waited patiently to become king because he knew that he could trust God. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the next time you have an urge to help God, help you just wait. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Here's a quote I picked up from a guy named Dr. John Moore. He said, "If success was contagious, would you catch it from the three people you hang around the most?" This is a very, very powerful question because it provokes you to immediately analyze the three people you spend your time with. I also had a Sunday school teacher to once tell me, he said, "Courtney, if you hang with an alley cat, you're gonna smell like an alley cat." So my question to you today is, one, are you sick with success? Are you catching success from the people that you hang around the most? And two, do you smell like success? Do you smell like the people you hang around with the most? A man's character is measured by the company he keeps. So my big question to you is, what company are you keeping today?
Listen to Up Together with Courtney Sargent at 12 noon Central on Urban Family Talk.
And my strength, a very present help in trouble. If you believe that tonight, come on, put your hands together like this. Listen.
God is my refuge, yes he is. The Lord is my strength. He's a very present help, yes he is. My Lord. The trials of life sometimes may weigh you down, but the greater one still lives in you, so you're gonna come out on top. Listen, no matter what trials in life may come,
He is my refuge.
And in my weakest times, I know
the Lord is my strength.
Yes, He is. So don't get weary, cause He will
bring you
put your hands together. Oh,
the Lord is my
yes, He is. Come on.
To Byron Cage, the song My Refuge, My Strength. All right, thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words: "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Verses 1 through 20, all of Revelation chapter 1. Father, again, your word is such a wonderful gift, a powerful gift, a blessed gift, a gift that we have the privilege of being able to put to use, to put to work in our lives every single day. Father, bless us so that with every passing day, more and more we'll recognize the great need for us to make it one of the high priorities of our lives, to simply open your word every day and thus spend time with you one-on-one in reading and meditating on your word. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We're looking at the topic of the importance of the habit of reading God's word every single day. And of course, we're speaking of this in relation to you. It's important for you as an individual believer to read God's word every day. I like to encourage a habit of reading at least three chapters every day. That's a good basic spiritual meal. But also parents teaching and training and encouraging your children to read God's word every day is so, so important. Parents, obviously, this is so true that in life, our children are in our hearts, period. That's just true. That's just the way it is in life. Your children are in your hearts. And as parents, we desire to bless and help our children. Well, it's so important for us as parents to understand that the greatest thing our children could ever receive is Jesus and a life in close communion with the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So one of the great things we can do as parents is teach, train, and encourage our children to read God's word every single day. Now, you know, of course, the title of our broadcast is The Hour of Intercession. Intercession is a form of prayer. Now, some might would say, well, why are you dealing so much with the importance of reading God's word when you're supposed to be talking about prayer? Well, keep this very important point in mind. God's word and prayer go hand in hand. In fact, spending time in God's word is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God, staying in close fellowship with God. So don't ever make the mistake of thinking they're two completely exclusive things. The fact is, spending time reading and meditating on God's word is a form of prayer, a form of communing with God, our Heavenly Father. So when you're reading the Word of God, keep this in mind. Prayer, it's a way of listening to God, obviously. And remember, prayer is both talking to God and listening to God. So when you're reading the Word of God, God, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, is talking to you. He's communicating to you. He's giving you guidance, counsel, wisdom, direction. But he's not just giving you information. When God speaks to us through his word, he's pouring grace and peace and power and joy and light into our mind and our heart. You need that. I need that. We all need that. And the fact money could never buy all the good that happens when you and I simply spend time, really spend time one-on-one with our Heavenly Father, reading and meditating on his word. Now, have you ever wondered why sometimes it feels so much like a struggle to do it? In fact, sometimes it seems like it's so easy to do certain other things, but sitting down and spending time reading and meditating on God's word, sometimes it can really seem like it's a tough thing to do. Well, that's not a difficult point to really address. The fact is, of all the things you do in life, one of the things the devil will oppose you on almost more than anything else is your time in God's word. Remember, two things the devil will fight hard against you in your life. He will try to get you to not spend time reading the Word of God, and he will try to get you to not spend time in prayer. Those are two things that do great damage to his ability to bring trouble to your life, to mislead you, to guide you in wrong directions, because remember, the devil is no match for the Word of God. He doesn't have in his arsenal anything that will defeat the Word of God. He just doesn't have it. So his goal is to get you to not use it. Because as long as he can get a person to not use God's word, he can mislead and deceive and steal from and take from. Because remember, he doesn't have the ability to stop the word of God, but he can stop people who don't have the word of God in their mind and in their heart. So one of his great battles in your life is to keep you from the word of God. So be mindful that when you wonder why it seems tough to try to do it, because he's coming against your time in God's word, and he's coming against your prayer life. So that's why you and I need to learn to press in and read the word anyway. Press in and spend time meditating and thinking on the word of God. Remember, of all the things you will do today, one of the most valuable and fruitful things you will do is spend time simply reading and meditating on God's word. Now, I often mention the habit of reading at least 3 chapters a day. And if you're not already doing that, today is a good day to start that habit of reading 3 chapters a day at least. Now, keep in mind, when you sit down to do that, remember, the devil will often try to cause you to become distracted or encourage you to get up and do something else and not go through with this. I would encourage you to pray for God to help you to establish the habit of reading his word every day, and pray that God will help you to really get the most out of your reading, because even when you sit down to read, you need to pray over your reading time. You know, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 18, it's a prayer that's found there. That's a good prayer to pray every day before you spend time reading God's word. And it simply says this: open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. That's a great prayer to pray every day just before you spend time reading God's word. Because remember, God's word is a book full of treasure. It's full of wisdom, full of counsel that we all very much need. And as we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, he can open up our mind and our understanding to get the most out of our reading time. So that's just a wise thing to do. Ask God every time you do, to take time to open the Word of God. Ask God to open your eyes that you may see wondrous things out of his law. Also, we're wise to ask him to anoint our minds and our ears and our understanding so that we can get the most out of our reading time. Because remember, he will try to distract you and to get you to daydream and get your mind to wander off, even when you're trying to read the Word of God. So let's make it our goal to be sure and do that. And let me remind you, too, there down through history, there have been great men and servants of God who recognized the great need to be a student of the Word of God, and it blessed them tremendously when they, too, were faithful in that area. I want you just to consider this, for example, John Quincy Adams, one of our early presidents in our nation. He was the 6th president of our country. He once made this statement. He said this: "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year." Again, a quote from John Quincy Adams, our sixth president of the United States. Now, George Mueller was another great man of God. He was a tremendous man of prayer, a great servant of God, who did some great things. And amongst other things that he did, he established a set of orphanages in England and helped, I think history states that he helped over 10,000 children over a period of years through the ministry of orphanages that he did establish. But let me share with you a quote from George Mueller. George Mueller once said this, I believe that the one chief reason that I have been kept in happy, useful service is that I've been a lover of Holy Scripture. It has been my habit to read the Bible through 4 times a year in a prayerful spirit to apply it to my heart and practice what I find there. I've been for 69 years a happy man. Happy, happy, happy. Again, the words of George Mueller. And again, he said he read the Bible through 4 times every year. Now, that's a wise thing to do. It's good to read the Word of God. But now, whether you read straight through or you just read God's Word, remember, when you're reading, you're feeding your spirit. And now keep in mind, all of God's Word is valuable as food for your spirit. From Genesis to Revelation, all of it is the inspired Word of God. It will bless you. It can encourage you. It can inspire you. It can stir your faith. In fact, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So make it your goal. Again, if you haven't already, start today. Start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. Now, keep in mind, if you decide you want to read more than that, well, wonderful. You can't get too much of God's Word. It only increases the flow of grace, the flow of blessing, the flow of encouragement into your mind and your heart. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4, it says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Well, as a believer, how do you get closer to God? How do you draw closer to God? If you just sometimes state, I just want to get closer to God, well, this is one of the ways you do it. Just spend time, significant time, reading and meditating and thinking on God's Word. Because the more time you spend reading and meditating on God's Word, the closer and closer you draw. In fact, it's important that you learn to live in such a way that you get rid of a lot of the distractions out there. In fact, we live in a world full of distractions, full of what I would call weapons of mass distraction, weapons, things that pull you away from what's most important. Some of those distractions are all kinds of little electronic devices we use in our world, you know, cell phones and MP3 players and video games and TVs and PCs. And there's so many things that we use, gadgets that take our time. And remember, there are many times in which people simply just waste a lot of time on some of the electric gadgets out there. And remember, this wasted time is wasted life. You and I need to make it a priority to turn a lot of these electronic things off. Set the cell phone down, put the MP3 player down, turn the TV off sometime, and spend time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father. Again, few things will bless. In fact, nothing can bless you more than God's precious Word. Lord, thank you for your Word and the fact that it can bless us and bless our children and bless anyone that makes it the priority it should be, and they make time to read and meditate on your Word. Lord, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to make it one of the high priorities of our day, every day, to simply read and meditate on your Word and listen to you as you speak words of guidance, words of counsel, words of direction, words of wisdom from your Word, words that teach us what's right and what's wrong, what honors you, what dishonors you, what's truth and what's false out there. Help us to know, Lord, that your Word opens our eyes and opens our understanding to all of life. Guide us to be faithful to do that ourselves. And guide us, Father, to help our children and our grandchildren, to help and encourage them and pray that they too will grow in their love for your Word and their commitment to read your Word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of the need to establish the habit of reading God's Word daily. We'll be right back.
So uncertain, so unknown, but so inevitable. Dr. Tony Evans talks about death and why most of what we think about the afterlife is upside down.
You are not in the land of the living on your way to the land of the dying, but you're in the land of the dying on your way to the land of the living.
The truth about what happens when we die and other prophetic promises. This week on The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans.
Hi, I'm Cedric. When I was a teenager, marijuana led me to cocaine, and for the next two decades, I was a crack addict. And when I came to Teen Challenge, I was hopeless, but I'm free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Ephesians 6:11 describes the armor of God, a biblical set of survival gear for Christians facing spiritual warfare. But Dr. Tony Evans will tell us about a subtle shade of difference between some of the items on the list as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Now, I must admit, I've taught this passage many times, but this is the first time I noticed to this degree the change of verbs from having to take. The first three pieces of armor are from the verb to be, and it reads having. He says in verse 13, having girded. Then he says later on in verse 14, having put. And then he says in verse 15, having shod. But notice the shift in the text with the last three. He says in verse 3, taking up. He says in verse 17, take the helmet and the sword of the Spirit. Two key verb changes. What's the difference? Some of the armor you keep on. Other parts of the armor you pick up as you need it. Having the first three, a way of being dressed all the time. Taking, you keep it nearby so you can pick it up at a moment's notice. They are simply six ways of saying the same thing. Get dressed up in Jesus every day.
Learn more about how you can always be prepared when the battle going on behind the scenes of your life heats up. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll not only teach you what the Bible has to say about our fight against the devil and his influence, you'll find the real-life help you're looking for. Visit us at TonyEvans.org for details. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. For he is like a tree that's planted by streams and waters that yields its fruit in season.
Listening to music from Cam, the song Psalm 1. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. The Psalm 1 that he was just singing about comes from the book of Psalms, and of course it's Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm number 1. And then looking briefly in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, reading a portion of that chapter, Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Verses 1 through 12, a portion of Proverbs chapter 3. Again today, we're looking at the topic of the importance of having the habit of reading God's Word every day. That's a very important habit for every believer listening. It's a very important habit for believers' parents to teach and train and encourage your children to do the same. And keep in mind, again, obviously when they're small, they're young, it's much easier to direct and guide them and teach and train them to do that. But again, for every parent listening that has an adult child or children, I want to encourage you to make it your goal to encourage them to do the same. Encourage them to start the habit of reading 3 chapters a day. Just challenge them sometime to begin that. And sometimes, parents, again, I want to encourage you, just when you call your son or your daughter up, again, whether they live down the street or live in another part of the country or in another part of the world, just say, son, daughter, would you read such and such chapter for me? Would you read Proverbs chapter 3 out loud for me? Would you read Revelation chapter 1 out loud to me? And keep in mind, just let them know that it'll bless you if they'll read it for you. And often you may find sometimes your children might be a little hesitant if they've never done it before, but they may think, well, hey, if dad or mom wants me to, why not? And keep in mind, every time you do it, it will clearly bless them because God's word has anointing on it. It has grace on it. In fact, it is anointing. It is grace. And so when they read it, they may be thinking they're doing you a favor, and they are, but they're doing themselves a favor, and they're blessing themselves as well. So parents, encourage it. And also keep in mind, parents, when our children are young, if we teach and train them to do it, but also if we allow our kids to see us reading God's Word and to see us spending time in God's Word, they will learn from that. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that, as often parents may often say, they may say, well, my children don't listen to me, or they don't pay any attention to me. That's just not true. Parents, keep in mind, our children are watching us when, you know, as they're growing up and they're growing up at home, they're watching us more or less all the time. They're watching you many times when you want them to, and they're watching you many times when you don't want them to. They're learning things from you that you want them to learn, and they're learning some things that you don't want them to learn because they're observing you. They're an audience for you most all the time as they're growing up. So the fact is, if they see you doing things like spending time reading and meditating on God's Word, and they see you spending time praying, they will learn from that. And the image of a praying parent, the image of a parent reading the Word of God, the memory of hearing dad or mom read Scripture out loud is something that will be imprinted on their minds and their hearts. Yes, they will remember. Yes, parents, they will remember things like that. Even though you may think they just totally forgot, they will remember, and it will make an impression. But again, even if they're adults, having them to read, encouraging them to read is a very important goal. In fact, we're wise to pray that God will help them along that line as well. Let's take a moment to do just that. Father, thank you, Lord, for the adult children of every single listener. Thank you for the adult children of believers throughout the body of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity for us to lift our children up in prayer. Lord, thank you for many of our children who appreciate the prayers we lift up for them and pray for them. And Lord, thank you for our children, even those that will sometimes say, "Don't pray for me," or who will act like they don't want our prayers or discourage us from praying for them. Lord, help us as parents to remember that we do not need our children's permission to pray for them. And help us to remember that it's our responsibility to pray for them all our lives. Lord, touch us, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace and empowerment to be faithful to pray that our children will grow in their love and their commitment to read and meditate on your word every single day. And Lord, touch all of these, our children. Help them to grow in their desire to spend time in your word. Help them to grow to love your word. Help them to grow to a place where more and more they'll want to fill their hearts and their minds with the word, and where more and more they will want to live in such a way that they'll turn off lots of these electronic gadgets and open your word and simply spend time one-on-one with you in your precious word. Guide us as parents to regularly invite and encourage them to read. In fact, read to us out loud, whether they're with us in person or on the phone. Help us to not be shy about doing things like that, knowing that your word can bless our children more than anything else in the whole universe. Help us to be wise enough to do things like that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we're talking about the importance of the habit of reading God's Word every day. That's, again, a habit that every believer should establish in their life. And each of us should be wise enough also to teach and train our children to do the same thing, because remember, nothing will bless our children more than reading God's Word. And also keep in mind, God's Word is many things to us. Amongst other things, it's a guide for living. It teaches us what's right, what's wrong, what's truth, and what's false. And we live in a world where we've never needed that more, because there's so many lies and so much deception out in the world where people, in many instances, are doing things that they're convinced that it's right when it's just as wrong as two left shoes. They're doing something that's wicked and evil, but in their minds and through their words, they'll say they're doing the right thing. Well, the fact is, something can't be right and wrong at the same time. And also, there's not a right way to do wrong. So it's important that we have a reliable guide and a reliable means of direction to know what is right and what's wrong, what honors God, what doesn't honor God. That's where God's word, God's precious word, comes into a very, very valuable place in our lives. It teaches us truth. And we need truth as an anchor to know what's right and what's honoring to the Lord, what's wrong and what's dishonoring to the Lord as well. And so parents have to be faithful to read the Word of God daily. And when our children are small, remember, as we teach and train them to, this will be a skill that will bless them for the rest of their lives. And also keep in mind, you've probably heard the saying that often in life it's said that more is caught than taught. Again, if we model before our children the importance of both praying and reading God's Word, they will listen and they'll learn from that also. And also, parents, as we regularly, when our children are young, small, maybe at the dinner table or just have a devotional time where we're reading the Word of God as a family, that too will have and will have a lasting effect on our children, because they'll remember that. And so reading the Word of God is important as well. But also, in your home, it's wise to get things that will help them to grow in their knowledge of the Word of God and the importance of being guided by the Word of God as well. Keep in mind, for example, it's good to have a copy, an easy-to-read copy of the Ten Commandments in your home, and regularly talk about it. Now, having your children read the Ten Commandments out loud is a wise thing to do, but just talk about what each commandment means. That's a wise thing as well. And also praying the Ten Commandments. Let's take a moment now. We're going to pray the Ten Commandments, and I hope through doing that you'll pray along with me, but also learn how to pray it. And remember, It may take all of maybe 60 seconds to pray the Ten Commandments. It doesn't take long at all, but it's a wise thing, parents, every day to have our children pray them, because when we pray, we're asking God to help us by His Spirit to live them out, but also we're learning them better and better. Let's take time to do that. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us, Lord, this day to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us, Lord, to not kill. Help us, Lord, to not commit adultery. Help us, Lord, to not covet. And help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, keep in mind, remember, the Ten Commandments is, it's just in 10 short commandments. They cover every part of life. In direct statement or in principle, it covers every issue, every concern, every matter. And so we can know the word and the will of God as it relates to God's word as we learn to follow wisdom, such as the wisdom found in the Ten Commandments. So, parents, I would encourage you to teach and train your children to pray the Ten Commandments every single day. And remember, this is not just a ritual. When you pray and ask God to help you put Him first, you know the Holy Spirit is released to do just that, and He's an expert at helping people to learn how to put God first. He's an expert at helping us to not steal. He's an expert at helping us to tell the truth and to do all of those things. So we're wise to pray that every single day. So remember, God's word helps us know what's right, what's wrong. And our society is sick in so many ways. It's in darkness in so many ways. And the cure to all the problems in the world is the word of God. The means to find out what will fix the world is found in the precious word of God. And the more we read it and live by it, the more we help to make the world a better place as we apply it in our own lives. Don't be a believer that gives lip service to the Word of God. You know, there are lots of people that reverence the Word of God, but don't read it. God is not calling us to simply reverence His Word and look up to it as a nice souvenir or a symbol. God's Word is a guidebook for life. It's a power book for life. It's a book that gives us counsel, guidance, and direction for every part of life. If you're not reading God's Word every day, today is a good day to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. And parents, again, let's teach and train our children and encourage them to do the same in their lives. Thank you again, Lord, for your Word, your precious Word. Thank you for the many ways your Word blesses us, it empowers us, it counsels us, it guides us. It helps us to grow in our faith. It helps us to grow in our understanding of what's right and what's wrong, what's righteous and what's unrighteous. It helps us to grow in our understanding of what real justice is about. It helps us to grow an understanding of how to be merciful and compassionate towards those that are hurting the world. Thank you, Lord, for how that your word blesses us, guides us, molds and shapes us more and more every single day. Help us to grow daily in our love for your word, and help us to be faithful to read and meditate on it daily. And help us to be faithful to teach and train our children and encourage other believers to read your word every day as well. We thank you for the wonderful, wonderful gift your word is to us each and every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening. Again, as always, we appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.